This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Kelly Appleby, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Kelly, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. This is the second time this week. I am your host, Tim Keller. Along with me is Kelly Appleby. Tyler couldn't make it today. So, Kelly, how you doing, sir?
I'm living good, man. Happy to be here.
It's Sunday afternoon, and we have an awesome guest along with us. Everybody knows him. He is the co-host of the Dynasty Blueprint. He is part of the DLF staff, among many other things, Roto World. Ryan McDowell, welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. Did I miss anything? I'm sure I missed about a 400,000 things that you were part of.
Well, I try to stay busy, but I'm glad to be on, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great. Where can the people find you on Twitter if they don't already follow you?
Yeah, I'm at RyanMC23.
He's a great follow. I suggest you go out there and follow this man if you haven't already. Today's topic, we're going to talk about worst draft classes, draft busts, some of our worst picks we've ever made, some of our best picks we've ever made, just to kind of put things in perspective. As good as some of these prospects look in this 2017 class, or any class for that matter, sometimes guys bust. Sometimes the guys that look like they're surefire don't work out, and the guys that just you took a flyer on late in the draft are the guys that end up being starters for you in the future. So we're going to talk about a few of those today. But before we get into anything, I wanted to talk about a couple of our sponsors. The first one being the Sit or Start app. The Sit or Start app is the premium app for all your Sit or Start questions in season. Now, obviously, nobody's setting lineups this time of year, but you can download the app now. They have the news to keep you up to date on what is going on around the league, keep you informed, and then once the season starts, you have them to answer all your Sit or Start questions. Our other sponsor is RSO. That is Reality Sports Online. Have you ever wished to be an NFL general manager? I think that's what we all feel like we're trying to do playing fantasy football, especially Dynasty. Well, now you can, thanks to Reality Sports Online. It is a powerful fantasy football platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy teams just like real NFL general managers. Reality Sports Online was created by former NFL front office personnel and features revolutionary free agency auction room, which mimics NFL free agency, enabling fantasy owners to negotiate and sign NFL's top talent to single or multi-year contracts. The platform can host up to 32 teams, has tons of other cool features, including the free agency, like rookie drafts, multi-team trades, franchise tags, injured reserve, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Test your general manager skills for free with our 14-day free trial at realitysportsonline.com. If you like what you see, use the promo code HAPPY10 to receive 10% discount while bringing your team or league over to Reality Sports Online. Reality just got real at realitysportsonline.com. So now that we've got that out of the way, I've already kind of mentioned that we were going to talk about some of the worst or best drafts we've ever had. Tyler couldn't make it today, but he sent his in. But we're going to let the guests go first. So, Ryan, you want to start with maybe – let's go with the best. We'll get these out of the way, and then maybe we can dig on ourselves a little bit here later on. So give us maybe your best class, a couple of your best picks of all time, things that you really liked, maybe some surprises, things like that.
Well, first of all, I really love this topic. It it got me looking back at some of my leagues that I've been in for some of them for 10 years. And it was just a good way to reflect on some good and bad picks I've made, some of the decisions, and really some of the mistakes even that I continue to make in looking at last year's rookie picks. So, hopefully this is a way to help me improve and maybe help your listeners improve as well. I'm sure we all make the same types of mistakes. So if we can learn from each other, that's a good thing, of course.
Yes, sir.
What I really focused on in looking back at these rookie drafts are my four oldest leagues. They're hyperactive leagues, which I started. They're 24-team leagues, basically two 12-team conferences put together. And pretty standard as far as PPR. They're one quarterback, so like most of the leagues out there. And there were some pretty bad picks, but we'll start with the good ones, like you said. My oldest league was Hyperactive One. It started back in 2006, and I looked at every rookie draft I've done since that time. The 2013 draft stood out for me. I got Keenan Allen with the 1.08 pick. So he's, even with the injuries, I would say that's been a pretty good pick. And then I didn't pick again until the third round. But I got Travis Kelce and Jordan Reed at the beginning of the third round. And that's,
yeah, those are solid picks.
Yeah, that's one of the things that stood out to me. One of the good things that I was able to do and noticed others doing too is taking a shot on tight ends and quarterbacks in that third or fourth round range. I think both of those positions in general are devalued across dynasty leagues. This year is going to be a little bit different with tight ends, of course. But overall, I think using those late round picks just to take a shot on players like that can really pay off.
Yeah, we saw it with Dak Prescott last year. Guy was going in, you know, somebody was really high on him in the third round of rookie drafts. In most drafts, I saw him going in the fourth round, and he's a pretty hot commodity. He's a one-year veteran of the NFL now. So I got Tyler's here. His favorite draft is from a league called League of 10,000 Lakes, and this is the, what is this, 2015 draft, I want to say, the Mike Evans draft. So a lot of people really like this class. He had the number two overall pick where he took Mike Evans. Two picks later, he went up again. He got Carlos Hyde. He was just loaded with picks in this draft. We go down here a little bit to 203. Teddy Bridgewater, he picked up there at the beginning of the second round. A little high for a quarterback in most leagues. So maybe this might have been a super flex league, something like that. I don't know all the details on this league. But then he gets Allen Robinson at 208, which is really turned out to be a very solid pick for him here. Austin Seferian Jenkins at 302, that looked at certain points at Austin Seferian Jenkins, if he ever realized his talent, could really be a good tight end in this league. He follows that up with the very next pick at 303 with Lake Seastrunk. Had some talent, never really developed into anything. The metric phenomenon, Cody Latimer at 304. 306, he had another pick here, Andre Williams. And I think that's it for him in this draft. So you see him take some shots on some guys there in the third round, again, with the tight ends. And if ASJ ever figures it out, I think he still could be a very good tight end. He is a very athletic big man. But we see how a Mike Evans to start your draft, and then you follow that up with the middle of the second round, you land a guy like Allen Robinson, of all players. That is a great way to build a team for the future for years and years to go. So we'll go to you, Kelly. Who's your favorite pick or your favorite draft? What do you like there?
See, looking back through the hourglass here, through time, and my best picks were pre-Dynasty when we were still doing a keeper league, where 2013 I drafted, and I don't even know if these are good players, Eddie Lacy and Tyler Eifert. So this is kind of a reflection on me that maybe I need to step my game up on who I'm drafting. I mean, last year I drafted Corey Coleman, but he's no longer even on my roster. So who knows with him?
You have always had a short fuse, a quick trigger finger. You take guys with high upside, and then we get into the middle of the season, and you're shooting for this championship. So maybe you move on guys a little too quickly. I got to move on from Tyler's stuff to get to mine. But we'll look at one of my drafts from a few years back. Bring it up
there. You know, Tim, I'll just throw this in.
Go ahead.
Kind of what Kelly was saying reminded me of one of the things that stood out to me looking over these drafts. I mean, altogether, I looked over probably 20, 25 different rookie drafts that I've done in the last 10 years. And one thing that I noticed is, of course, like everybody else, I had plenty of picks that did not turn out very well. Uh-huh. But one thing that stood out to me with a few of those was I moved on from those players quickly. And I'm forgetting the draft class off the top of my head, but the Michael Floyd year. So yeah, 2012. Yeah. So I took Michael Floyd with the 1.06 pick, had a solid rookie year, but he was not a guy that I ever really loved. I didn't feel confident with that pick. The next year, a player that I did like quite a bit was DeAndre Hopkins. I didn't end up with any high picks in that draft though, so didn't have a chance to land him in this specific league. So I just offered Floyd for Hopkins straight up, which was accepted pretty quickly. And I got a lot of blowback on that one. People thought I I got taken on that deal. And of course, in the end, that's looking pretty good for me. But just that idea of if you take a player, if he's not looking good, and that's not to say players can't bounce back, but don't be afraid to make that move, get out from under what could be a bad pick.
Well, I was going to ask you that question. Like how short of a leash do you give players? If it's like you said, Michael Floyd, you took him at 106, I believe you said. So for where you're picking that draft, it's kind of the guy you felt you had to take there. But if you don't like a guy, how short of a leash are you giving him? Are you giving him to week 8 of the rookie season before you finally make that decision that, okay, maybe I was right. Maybe I do need to try to move him, or do you let him play out the whole first year? What do you normally try to do?
I think it's just player dependent and team dependent. You said there with Kelly that a lot of times he's trading those young players for veterans to try to make a run. I don't think that's ever really a bad play. If you're in contention for a title and you can move some youth to get that, you've got to take your shot. But I did the same thing last year with Devontae Booker. He was through this whole pre-draft process. He was not a guy I believed in at all. He was well down my rankings. And then he lands in what looks like a pretty good spot. And of course, mid-year with the injury to CJ Anderson, he got his chance. I had spent a late first rounder on him, but I took that chance to ship him off even before he really started struggling. Once he got his chance to start, I decided to sell him. He was not a player that I liked. It probably, just because of that, it was probably a bad move to even pick him, which was another thing that has stood out to me. You know, the NFL draft changes our evaluations. It changes the way we rank these players in Dynasty so much, which it should, of course. Team situation, and that plays a huge part. But what I found myself looking back at these drafts, what I noticed is that so often, at least once a year almost, I'm taking a player that I remembered not believing in, not liking, just because he landed in a good spot. It was, Devontae Booker. It was Kenyon Drake last year as well. I took him in the mid-second just because it looked like he landed in a good spot with the Dolphins. Years ago, it was Monty Ball. And all of those guys, just flamed out or maybe – or at least are off to a bad start in the case of Booker and Drake.
I'm on the exact opposite side of the coin of that Booker thing. I was having some struggles with running backs here this past season. Anderson gets injured. It looks like Booker's going to get his chance to start. I was lukewarm at best on Booker throughout the entire process, but again, it looks like a good situation. He just needs the opportunity. Anderson goes down. I end up selling Tevin Coleman for Booker. And it was simply I was doing the trades on the app. I very rarely use the app for MFL. I thought I had a third rounder added in there along with Booker. I did it. So I traded Tevin Coleman straight up for Devonta Booker mid-season this past year, and really not a big fan of that trade for me. And here's another thing I want to talk about is drafting for team need versus drafting best player available. I have, looking back at these drafts, too many times was I shooting for what I thought, this is the player that's going to fill that hole on my roster that I have. And once he does, it's going to be nothing. I'm going straight to the top in this league. And so often is that not the case. It just does not work out that way. I'll highlight what I consider my worst pick of all time and the entire thing that surrounds it is I was so sold on Terrence West. I live in the greater Philadelphia, Baltimore area, so Towson University, where Terrence West played, is semi-local. I had been hearing about this kid for about 2 years. I saw him live. I was sold on him. I'm like, this kid's going to go to the combine. He's going to light it up. And sure enough, his stock continually built and built and built. The Ravens take him. I sold off an Aaron Rodgers and I want to say a second-round pick to move up to it was like the 104, 105, something like that, I believe. And I took Terrence West with that pick. And just thinking, oh, this is going to be the guy. I had another early pick in that draft. I got Mike Evans with the other one. So it wasn't a complete lost draft. But had I not had Mike Evans and I sold everything to get to Terrence West, my team would be in some serious trouble. So, again, please don't put your eggs all in one basket, because – if it doesn't work out, you're putting yourself way behind Kelly, do you have a big pick that just didn't work out, or a guy you thought for sure was going to be the next thing?
You could throw James White in there. I ended up taking him right after like Jeremy Hill. I mean, he's starting to come to fruition, but I don't know. Like the Josh Robinson pick for me in 2015 at the 16th pick overall in the draft, I thought he was going to be the next coming of Maurice Jones-Drew, and he just never fired there with the Colts. And that was, again, a situation where I think my team needed a running back. I thought landing spot's great. You know, if he just runs like he did at Mississippi State, this is going to be a surefire thing. And he looked good in one preseason game, and it was never to be seen after like week six of that year.
Yeah, I remember watching his tape, short, stocky, seemed like he bounced and rolled off guys well. I can see the Maurice Jones-Drew come. Ryan, do you have a guy that you just were so sold on, and it seems like maybe you took him in every draft you had, or maybe you took him a little bit out of place and the guy just didn't work out?
I don't know if there's one guy, honestly. A few of these names showed up over and over in the four leagues I was looking at, but I was thinking about a piece that Jacob Rickrode recently wrote for RotoWorld. You guys might have seen that, basically about rookie hit rate and what we can really expect out of these rookie picks. So I was kind of viewing these rookie drafts as full classes, not necessarily as the individual picks. I looked back at Hyperactive One, the very first rookie draft for that league in 2007. And I'm doing, or I did just what you're saying, Tim. I was trying to fill a need at running back. I was chasing running backs throughout that draft who looked like maybe they had some opportunity. And you guys, I don't know if you were playing Dynasty back then, but these are probably names you won't even know if not, because they struggled so much. Brandon Jackson, I took him in the middle of the first. Packers had drafted him, and he looked like he might be their next starter. Miami had a running back, Lorenzo Booker. I think maybe he played at Florida State. Might be wrong on that one.
Yeah, that's Florida State, actually.
Yeah, Antonio Pittman at the end of the second round, a Rams pick, and Colby Smith for the Chiefs. So throughout all four picks in that draft, I was just taking shots at running backs, and none of those hit. All those guys turned out to be really just wasted picks. So when you go through an entire round, you've got three picks in the top two rounds, and you don't hit on any of them, that can really set your team back a little bit.
It definitely does. Yeah. It's fun to watch a team that struggles for 2-3 years at a time. It seems like they just can't hit on a pick. It takes one, maybe two real good drafts, and so quickly those teams can just jump right to the top of a league. So if you have a couple drafts like Ryan just highlighted, where for whatever reason you had four picks in the first 24, and none of them work out, you're more than likely going to have some high picks again the following year or two. You're eventually going to hit. Just you got to stick with it. Keep doing the work. Don't get overly frustrated. We'll go back to Tyler here, and this was his least favorite draft. This is a draft where he traded up to get Tavon Austin. I wish he was here to tell us a little bit more about it, if it was something he saw in Tavon Austin, if it was something that had to do with the Rams jumping up to get him in the draft. But his very first pick at 105, he took Tavon Austin. He follows that up at 205 with Tyler Eifert. So right away he's saying this is his worst draft, and he's got one of the top three to four tight ends in the league here. We'll go down here to his next pick at 304, Mike Gillisley. He was a guy that has taken forever to get any sort of worth, but it's never really amounted to much. But you can't get too upset with a 304 pick not working out. Sadly, the 305 pick in this draft was Andre Ellington, which he would have got at least something out of there. And I believe that was his last pick in this. I'm sorry, 409, Stemmon Bailey. So trading up for Tavon Austin there at 105, I can understand how he doesn't love this draft. Ryan, what do you consider your worst overall draft?
Oh, I think it would have to be that one I just mentioned there with the four running backs and not hitting on any of them. But I've got plenty of others, unfortunately. If you look at 2010 in one of my leagues, I had the second overall pick. I took Ryan Matthews. That hasn't, you know, he's had some good games and some good years, but probably not the return you want on a second overall pick. And then I had three second rounders. which I love. I love stacking those second round picks because it most likely you're going to hit on one of those guys. So if you can get multiple second rounders, that's another thing that stood out to me. It kind of led to some success in some of these leagues. That's not the case this time. I had 3 second rounders. I got Dexter McCluster, Marty Gilliard. I don't know if you guys even remember him.
Yeah, I remember Gilliard, yes.
And Andre Roberts, who is still hanging around, but not really a fantasy option. I did follow that up in the third, actually, with Aaron Hernandez. And, of course, you know, we all know that story. It was a good pick at the time, I guess. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying about taking a shot on tight ends. Looking at across these drafts, I got Hernandez, I got Jordan Reed, I got Travis Kelce in the third round of multiple drafts in different years.
Very nice. Now that's something I wanted to highlight. You said you like to stack a bunch of second round picks. It's a strategy for you because you seem to have a decent hit rate there in the second round. At least you do. And you're going to get them at a very, very discounted rate compared to the first round picks. So I think if you find that you have a good success rate in the second round, like Mr. McDowell here, then it's just good business. You're going to pay a cheaper price, stack those second rounds, and you'll get them. I wanted to highlight what I consider my worst draft class here. Again, I'm trying to go after some running backs here. I had a couple first-round picks. So at 105, I got hot on Amir Abdullah, took him, followed that up with Tevin Coleman. We're going next. My next pick, Nelson Agholor. Ryan can attest, I'm wearing an Eagles shirt. I got the Eagles flag in the background, big Eagles fan. I thought Nelson was going to be the guy to break that USC wide receiver curse that, you know, just nobody from USC can come play wide receiver, and he's definitely not that guy.
It's going to be Juju.
I hope so. I think it will be. He definitely looks like if somebody's going to do it, it looks like it can be him. Two picks later, going back to that running back, well, Jay Ajayi, I needed running back help, and I figured one of these guys would get it. So out of those three first running backs I took, I'd say Jay Ajayi has probably been the best running back overall. I traded him away very quickly. I traded him during this draft to get Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, to me.
Yeah.
As soon as you drafted him, I'm like, hey, what do you think, Jordan Matthews for Jay Ajayi?
So,
deal was done.
Very next pick, I took Justin Hardy. He's never really seemed to work out there. 207. So I had a bunch of first rounds and then some early second round picks there. 207, I go with Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, middle of the second round is probably, not probably, he is my best pick in this draft. Five-star recruit coming into college. He goes to a university like Maryland. He's not going to put up big stats. I just loved what I saw on tape. I heard he had great work ethic. And it turns out, you know, from what I had heard, everything seemed to come true there. Again, go back to running backs here in the late second round, 209. I go to Matt Jones. It looked like maybe I had something there for a little while. It didn't turn out. Chris Conley at 214. This is a 14-team league. And then I didn't have another pick till 414. Go with Michael Dyer. He was a guy that went to the Raiders. I believe he sat a year on the practice squad. I believe he's in the CFL now, if I'm correct. But, yeah, that one definitely didn't work out either.
I don't know, Tim. That sounds like a pretty strong draft to me, actually. You know, you got Diggs, who is a top 15, 20 dynasty wide receiver. Ajayi was a good pick, even though you traded him, which I think that's, if you come out of that draft, I think you said Ajayi was the second rounder. You come out of that draft with Matthews, basically getting him for a second round pick. And you said someone earlier than that I missed, but I think Tevin that's a strong draft. Yeah, Tevin Coleman.
I look at it as those were my picks. And what do I have to show for it? I've traded Tevin Coleman away for the Devonta Booker. I traded Jay Ajayi away for Jordan Matthews. Nelson Agholor ended up busting. Amir Abdullah has done, I mean, he's done a little bit more than nothing, but he really has done nothing for me fantasy-wise. Stephon Diggs is the only guy I've been able to start out of this draft. And this was a draft where I just stacked a bunch of picks. I was a middling team in this league up until that point. So I moved some assets in order to get a bunch of picks, thinking if I can hit, this is going to work out for me. And I think, sadly, I just maybe was not patient enough on some of these guys. I still hold on to Amir Abdullah in this league, just hoping for something. I think the offers I've gotten, you know, they're not going to pay off for me in the long run either. Amir Abdullah is going to hit, and I'm going to feel like I lost out on the deals. Or you know, what I will get for him is pretty much what he's going to be worth with whatever production I'm going to get from going forward. So just overall, not excited about that class. And obviously with a pick of 414, you're going to get a lot of guys like the Michael Dyers of the world where you can't really expect much. He was just a kid that went to a big school, had some off-the-field issues, thought, you know, he goes to a place like the Raiders, wasn't a huge fan of Latavius Murray, thought maybe this kid impresses in camp and shows up on the field.
Well, a couple of things stand out there to me. You know, you said you're looking at what you have now, mm-hmm. and kind of that's how you're evaluating that draft. To me, I go the other way. I look at the draft pick and, you know, did I make a good pick? Yes or no?
Yeah.
And then what happened next is separate. Okay, I made a great pick. I took Diggs in the second, or I took Ajayi in the second. And then what did I do? You know, so maybe you made a great pick in a bad trade. One thing that, looking over my drafts, I took T.Y. Hilton in the third or fourth round of three different leagues in his rookie year. And in two of those, I dropped him. So that obviously, you know, I dropped him before probably before the season even started. And that doesn't make that a bad pick. I don't regret the pick at all. Of course, I regret the move I made afterwards. So what can I learn from that? Maybe I need to be more patient. Maybe I need to manage my roster differently around draft time or around that preseason to be able to take a chance on guys like that. But that doesn't make it a bad pick. So I think you made great picks overall in that draft. To me, it's maybe more about the trades that you made afterwards.
Well, I appreciate that. And that is an interesting, see, I wasn't looking at it that way. And that is a good way to look at things, because I'm looking at it as the totality of it. Because this is what I had. This is what I have now. How have I done since that point, where I guess this exercise is about the draft themselves. So
there's just so many pieces in dynasty football that lead to that end result. Draft is obviously a huge one of those, but trading and waivers and roster management and weekly lineup decisions, those all play into it. You know, you can be the best talent evaluator and drafter of all time, but then if you're making poor trades after that, or if you don't have patience and you're dropping players like T.Y. Hilton, then it won't matter.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, what would you consider your worst draft class?
Looking back, I would probably have to say it was 2015. I feel like 2016 is still too new to really know how those players play out. So I went Dorrell Green Beckham at 113. Just love the size. He's kind of not fired. He looks raw. I mean, he could still turn into a wide receiver, but he's never going to be a top 10 guy like everybody was talking about. Josh Robinson was also in that draft, traded with you for the Jay Ajayi, Jordan Matthews trade there. And then 3-6, did my tight end flyer there with Darren Waller. And he's looked okay at times, but tight end competition there in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, you took a shot on a guy like DGB there. What'd you say, it was 113?
Yeah.
You know, tons of potential. You're taking a chance. You know, he's a guy that had some off-the-field concerns. Obviously, he's never really lived up to some of that hype or hope that he could have been. So, Ryan, let's talk about some other draft strategy here. We've kind of talked about the drafting for need versus drafting best player available. I've also heard people – I know in my home league I have a guy that's like this. I've heard about it in other leagues as well. But he will purposely draft somebody he may not have much interest in, just with the thought, if I'm going to trade this player to team A, B, or C, thinking he'll get the value from that player that way. First off, what are your thoughts on this, and how often have you ever seen anything like that really work out?
Well, it's hard to know for sure. You know, that might happen, and you're just as another participant in the league, you might not be aware of it. So, but personally, I don't really try to do that unless I'm just, well, I don't like to do it. There's usually enough players that I like in a draft that I'm not really worried about what anybody else is going to do. And I just think it's a risky proposition to draft a player with the intent of trading him.
I completely agree, because you are dependent on another individual's decision process. You are thinking that if I pick this guy, I'll be able to sell to this other individual in this league for X amount. And that may not always work. If you pick a guy, I want to say, you talk about picking Ryan Matthews. It was like the first preseason game that year, I believe he broke his collarbone. So if you pick a guy like Ryan Matthews and you're like, I'm not really interested in him, but I'm just going to wait till the preseason. People see he's a stud, and I'm going to get all kinds of value for him. First quarter, the very first preseason game, guy breaks his collarbone. I doubt anybody's going to take him off your hands, not for what you were expecting to sell for, that's for sure. What are some other draft strategies either one of you guys have heard about that you've seen work or just completely flame out?
Like I said, there were so many things that I noticed looking back at these drafts. I think I've thrown out most of them. It was funny. One that I like to do, and I think this can work in any round, even the later rounds, is just try to acquire as many picks as you can with the idea of really controlling the draft. So I say that, but I'm going to give you an example of when that didn't work, mostly because it's kind of sad. But I had one team that had been struggling. I'd missed the playoffs for a couple years in a row. It was that 2015 rookie class. I had three first rounders, and then I had a big collection of third round picks. So I felt like that was going to be the draft class that really turned my team around, because I was getting the high end talent early. I was going to take some shots on guys I liked later, and I thought that would really do it. So in the first round, I got Todd Gurley with the first overall pick, Devontae Parker in the middle of the round, and Tevin Coleman at the end of the round. So all three of those at least still have some value. I'll say that they've been helpful at times throughout their career, and they're still holding some value. And then I get to the third round. I watch all these players that I like coming off the board. And in the third round, I had the third, fourth, fifth, seventh, eighth, and 10th pick. So I had six third rounders. And this is what I came away with. I got Chris Conley, Mike Davis, the San Francisco running back, Trey McBride, Buck Allen, Cameron Artis Payne, and Clive Walford. So obviously didn't hit on any of those guys. At this point, probably not going to hit on any of those guys. I looked who was drafted with the other third round picks, Stephon Diggs, at the beginning of the third round. So I didn't pass him up, but I just missed on Diggs, just missed on Ty Montgomery. Between my fifth and seventh pick, Trey McBride and Javorius Allen, Tyler Lockett went off the board.
Oh.
And then between my 8 and 10 pick, Jeremy Langford went off the board. So I really botched that one about as badly as you could. But
Go ahead, Ray. Sorry,
I was just going to say, I still love that strategy, getting multiple third rounders. If you hit on one or two of those guys, then you know, you've got a great return.
Yeah, I have a very similar situation in our listener league. I came onto the podcast middle of the season last year, so I got introduced to the listener league from an owner that just wasn't participating, so let him go. So I took over an orphan, and I've really moved a lot of items I wasn't really interested in, brought in a whole bunch of picks. I believe I've moved some picks at this point, but at one point I owned something like 33% of the first round and then 22% of the entire draft. It's a 14-team league, so I had just a ton of picks, and I still do. So I'm hoping that you get your 50-50 chances there in the first round. You get into that like 30% hit range in your second round, and then I'm loaded in the second and third round. So I need to just hopefully, like Ryan said, find one or two of those guys in those later rounds, because the price I paid for those picks is next to nothing. And if you can get one of those to hit, if you can get a Stephon Diggs, a Tyler Lockett late in the draft, what you can turn that into is just the value you're bringing in. You spend a third, you're going to get a first or better or an established player for a guy with some unproven upside, at least. That can really turn teams around. So I like that strategy a lot there. By stacking, you talk about stacking seconds early, you talk about stacking thirds just now. I like that a lot, because you're paying so little to get them, because everybody gets hot on the rookie drafts, especially these first-round picks. I've seen a little bit of cool down on some of these 27 rookie picks, but I think we're getting to about 100 hours away. I think we're closing in on that number now till the first pick of the NFL draft, and I'm starting to get trade offers again for some mid and early first-round picks in a bunch of leagues. Are either one of you guys seeing anything like that? Are you guys getting those offers out there? Are people hounding you a little bit for picks now?
I'm kind of going the other way. I'm trying to acquire picks. I sold Devontae Parker for the 1.06, and then I sold Doriel Green Beckham for an early third. And he's, I guess he's kind of one of those examples, like I was talking about earlier, getting out before it's too late. I don't think I did that this year or this time last year. He was, you know, he was second, third, fourth round startup pick. So obviously I would have gotten a lot more last year, but honestly, I'm glad to get anything for him at this point.
You brought up Devontae Parker. I wanted to bring him up earlier because you sparked something in. I asked, like, how short of a leash do you give guys? I've had Devontae Parker on a couple rosters now, and he's a guy I just can't seem to let go. But you said you sold him for a 106, and I right away go, yeah, I would sell for the 106. What was your process with that? Did you just – you're tired of waiting? You don't think he's ever going to pass Jarvis Landry? Is it something else? The work ethic?
The work ethic is concerning.
Yeah.
I'm located in Louisville, of course, where he played college ball. So I'm not a Louisville fan, but I got to see a lot of that team. And I was always impressed with him, of course, teaming up with Bridgewater when they were both there. I didn't see very much I didn't like from Parker. So I ended up with him on quite a few teams. And, you know, I think sometimes we're a little too impatient with these young wide receivers. We've been spoiled, especially by that 2014 class that brought us Watkins and Evans and A-Rob and Devontae Adams and so many others, Beckham included. So I think we're a little spoiled, a little impatient sometimes with these young players. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Parker turned it around and had a solid career. But as far as the process for this specific trade, I was looking for more picks. I offered Sterling Shepard and a later pick for this 1.06, pretty quickly rejected. Can't complain about that. Shepard's kind of losing a little bit of value lately. But then the counter was Parker. So, you know, like most people, I view this top tier as six deep, and knowing I would get one of those, Williams or Mixon or really whoever falls, that was a good enough return.
Okay, now that we're, like I said, we're about 100 hours away from the NFL draft. We just talked about some of our rookie drafts. Is there a guy – we'll just talk about some rookie ADP here. Is there a guy in the top 12? I'll use the DLF ADP that I'm sure you're very familiar with. Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, Mike Williams, Corey Davis, Juju, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, John Ross, Howard, P. Ryan, Foreman, and Kamara. Out of those 12, Kelly, who do you feel the least sure of? Who has the biggest opportunity to be, you know, the bust?
For me, I think it's a guy like Deontay Foreman. I just think landing spot's going to matter a lot for him. The NFL has changed where it's a lot of passing down backs. He might end up fitting for me, though. Like, I feel like this could be like another David Cobb type running back. So Deontay Foreman's my pick.
Ryan, is there a guy in that top 12 that you're just not sold on even at this point yet?
Yeah, for me, it's John Ross. Just worried about the injuries, worried about the one-year wonder factor at Washington. I mean, he made some amazing plays, and, you know, nobody's going to deny the speed that he has. But I just don't know how much he'll be on the field.
Yeah, John Ross is a guy that I don't want to say I've been hard on, but I think he leans – and it's a great weapon, that speed, but it seems like he leans on that more than anything else. I don't trust that he is a well-rounded player as much as – some of these other guys are, and I just don't know. It's going to have to take a premier landing spot for me to think, yeah, there's some value there, that this is a guy I would be willing to take in the first round. So let's flip this coin. Let's go to like third round or later. So we're talking after the first 24 picks, and I'll start the list off here. We got guys like Isaiah Ford, Cooper Kupp, Bucky Hodges. Chris Godwin apparently is still going off at 28th. I thought he'd be higher on this ADP here. We'll just go to you first, Ryan. Guys you're shooting for in the third round that you think have the upside to maybe be starters one day for your teams.
Yeah, there's quite a few. You know, everybody talks about the depth of this class, and this is the year to get all those second and third rounders, as many as you can. But yeah, some of the names I like are Darius Stewart, the Alabama wide receiver, Ishmael Zamora, I like a lot. Let's see, Jake Butt, Bucky Hodges. I talked earlier about taking a chance on tight ends and quarterbacks in the third, fourth round. So those guys would be in that range. And then I think we see all the quarterbacks come off the board after the top two rounds. So, you know, pick your favorite quarterback, if it's Watson or Trubisky or whoever it might be. I think you'll be able to get those guys in that range of most drafts.
Kelly, you got a name deeper in drafts that you're looking for here?
Yeah, he hit on it right there. I like Ishmael Zamora. I like a guy like Taywan Taylor. You know, he's going to go off probably higher than third round, but there's a guy I'm targeting. I like a guy like Elijah McGuire as well. Aaron Jones, he's kind of like in that end of second, early third kind of area. I'm not so sold on the quarterbacks in this draft. I just feel like all of them are developmental guys, but it's just a crapshoot for the quarterback position, I think, for this one. But if you're going to take a chance on somebody, I think you got to go with Pat Mahomes with his strong arm.
Yeah, it's not a good year to be in a super flex league that needs some quarterbacks. You can't feel comfortable about any of these quarterbacks. I don't think the NFL teams feel great about any of these quarterbacks personally. You guys both mentioned Ishmael Zamora. I like him a lot in this range. Carlos Henderson's a guy I'll take some flyers on. And then Ryan Hidham, Jake Butt, for a third, fourth round tight end, I think is a solid pick. If it doesn't work out, it's a third or fourth round pick. So, you know, you're really not losing much there. And Ryan highlighted quite a few tight ends that he took in this range that end up turning into stud tight ends for fantasy purposes. So I really like Jake Butt in this window, that's for sure. And then if I'm on a team and I need a quarterback, this is the area I'm going to look. I'm not going to, just based on the fact that I don't love any of these guys, I don't feel I'm going to take a guy in the first or second round, even if there's some sort of crazy run. I'll let everybody else waste their value picks on these quarterbacks, and you know, I can pick somebody else up later at some other time. But with that all being said, I think that's going to wrap us up. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. If you had like one tip for first or second year guys in the dynasty world when it comes to drafting, I talked about drafting maybe best player available over going for position because it's so easy for guys to bust. What would be your biggest tip to give guys when it comes to draft season?
Well, that would probably be the one. If you stole mine, definitely draft. Take the best player available. Don't draft for need. I see it so often. People saying, I need a running back, so who should I take? Or I have this hole at quarterback. Should I take Watson in the first round or something?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. On top of that, I would just say create your own tiers. Create your own rankings, and then once you do those rankings, create your own tiers. Don't be afraid to move up or down to either move into that second or into that tier above or to move down and stay inside your same tier. So if we're talking about the top six players, if you have the second overall pick and you think all six of those top players are about the same, try to move down. You're getting your fifth or sixth player and you're getting some value later. So, but you have to be familiar with those tiers and know how you value the players before you can do that.
Yes, definitely. Tyler's not here, so his late round guy, obviously Corey Clement. He likes to bring his name up in every episode. So Tyler, I got it out of the way. Corey Clement in the late rounds. That's who Tyler's going to be going for. If you're going to leave with Tyler, just leave Corey Clement go. Let Tyler have him. It's not, you know, I don't think it's going to work out. Before we let you go, Ryan, you want to tell us a little bit about some of your buddies over there at DLF. They put together a thing called the Orange Report. You want to tell some of the listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah. That's from the FF Ghost, and he does awesome work with the Orange Report every year, looking at the rookie class. I think he's done it for, 5 years now. But it's a great value. I think it's $7 or $8. You can hit him up on Twitter for that. And it's really just another great resource. There's so many so many draft guides out there now. And there's some really good ones from different folks. But this one, of course, is a draft guide with fantasy football and with dynasty football in mind. So an awesome resource from the FF Ghost.
Yeah, we wanted to shout FF Ghost out. The Dynasty Happy Hour is going to give away a free copy of that Orange Report. This is something that if you've never seen it before, you will be blown away how in-depth this thing is. He does, Ryan said, great work, and I second that. Great work on this Orange Report. So what we're going to do, we got two reviews this in the past like 48 hours. We're going to automatically enter those two into this. But also going forward for the next week, any iTunes reviews we get for this podcast, we are going to enter into a random drawing. One winner will get a free Orange Report from the FF Ghost. If you don't win, like Ryan said, it's only $7 or $8. Go over there, find him on Twitter, hit him up, and you can get yourself a copy. It's going to be real. It's going to help you out in your rookie drafts, that's for sure. So, Ryan, before I get into our outro, we're going to go ahead and let you go. So thank you so much for coming on. One more time, where can all our listeners find, follow, read all your good stuff?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RyanMC23, and I've got Dynasty content at DLF, DynastyLeagueFootball.com. Also some at 444.com and RotoWorld as well.
All great sites. Thank you so much, Ryan. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we'll see you. So one more time, special thanks to Ryan McDowell. He's one of the best minds in Dynasty fantasy, just fantasy football in general. The guy just has a mind for this game. So I mentioned a couple of these reviews we got just within the past. The last one came in 44 hours ago and 21 hours ago. So from Kyle2346422, subscribing to Dynasty HH Pod will be worth your while. Rather than merely discussing player values, Tim, Tyler, and Kelly shake it up with fresh ideas and takes on each episode. Their Law and Order and Trade Scenario specials were unique and interesting. You can tell these guys love talking fantasy football. Thank you so much, Kyle. We definitely do love talking fantasy football. As anybody that plays it loves talking fantasy football. The next one comes in from Free App Player. Love all the takes, whether you agree with them or not. It's always good to hear others that are putting in the work. We'll continue to listen and enjoy. So, at FL2 Drink Minimum, I'm assuming that's his Twitter handle there. So if you feel like following one of our listeners, you can go follow him over there on Twitter. So thank you guys very much for both of those reviews. We enjoy those reviews. Now, you don't have to give us a 5-star review this next week. If you don't feel we're worth 5 stars, we appreciate 5 stars. We would love to get 5-star reviews, but give us honest reviews. Let us know how we're doing. It's the only way we're going to get better. So go over to iTunes, leave us a review. Anybody that does within the next 7 calendar days will get be entered into the drawing for the free Orange Report. I don't want to start giving away too many of these Orange Reports. Again, one more time, it's a great, great thing. If you're not the lucky winner, you can always go find FF Ghost on Twitter and hit him up. So that's going to do it for us this week. Go over to the website, dynastyhappyhour.com. We have tons of podcasts over there. So you will get multiple points of view from guys that are involved in our website. They don't always agree with us. They think some of our takes are dumb. I'm sure some of you guys think some of our takes are dumb. So you can get multiple opinions from guys we respect, we like. Go check out all these podcasts over there. We have a great team of writers. We got rankings. Go check out dynastyhappyhour.com. There is the Contact Us page over there. We've gotten 3 or 4 just people reaching out to us this week. Just, hey, love you guys. You know, just wanted to say hi. It's kind of random, but we love that kind of stuff. You can also use that to ask us questions over there if you can't fit it on Twitter. Or you can shoot us emails. DynastyHappyHour@gmail.com is where you can reach us on email. Tyler's not here, so at DHHGunth on Twitter, at DynastyHHPod on Twitter is for the show. Kelly, how about you?
At DynastyKellyApp. Go on there and check out the rankings. I know Tyler and I just updated ours, so you can go on there, leave us a message on how you like or dislike our rankings.
Now the contact page comes straight to me. So if you guys want to talk a little trash on Tyler or Kelly, you don't want them to see it, go to the Contact Us page on DynastyHappyHour.com. Type something out, and when you send it through, I won't show. I promise. It'll be fun. I'll probably show. Excuse me. You can find me on Twitter at TimDynastyFF. I think that's going to wrap it up for us. Tyler, we miss you, buddy. We are live on Thursday. We have a stacked card. We have a full house for the NFL draft. The Dynasty Happy Hour will be live. We'll tweet out the link so you can, if you just kind of want to mute the TV, you don't want to hear Mayock, you don't want to hear Chris Berman, whoever it is. Yeah. Yeah, if you don't want to hear those
Piper,
guys.
Todd McShay, you want to
hear us talking. I mean, if we get a run of, and we're going to have an IDP guy on. Tyler definitely knows his defensive players too, but it's not going to be nearly as exciting until we get into some of these offensive players. So in those times, we might go into some odd subjects, some odd topics. If you want to just sit back, have some good conversation going on, it's going to be like sitting in a room with a bunch of buddies talking about kind of whatever until a pick that's interesting comes up. Turn us on, turn the TV down. We're going to be live. We're going to have a bunch of good people in. I'm only going to be there for the first hour and a half maybe, and then I'm going to have to jump off, head to work, but we're in good hands. We got plenty of people to fill in. It's going to be a lot of fun. I highly, highly hope all you guys tune in and check us out on Thursday night. If you don't, happy draft night, I guess. It's almost like a holiday. Kelly, you and I are going.
Yes, I'm so looking forward to this. You know, downtown Philly. Let's do this.
Yeah, first night, obviously, we just mentioned we're going to be on the air, and then I'll go to work. I'd love to go to day two, but I don't think I'm going to make it happen. But, yeah, Saturday, for sure, definitely going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be an experience, if nothing else. It's something
we're going to get the Boer third through seventh round picks, you know.
In true Philadelphia Eagles fan fashion. And as we normally do at the end of every episode, we've gone off the rails. So let's rein this back in. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go over, subscribe, rate, review on iTunes, Stitcher, all those different platforms. Follow us on Twitter. Go over to the website. Check everything out over there. And until Thursday, draft, trade, win, and repeat.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at Dynasty Kelly App, at Tim Dynasty FF, and most importantly, at Dynasty HH Pod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by the Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.